Blog Talk Radio.
Something that drives me, something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No.
We want to hear the difference.
Where do y'all want to go with this? You're talking children, you're talking relationships, you're talking all kinds of things, and it blows my mind, man.
Another week. Once again, I want to say welcome to everyone to the Man Up Talk Show, Season 2. And I'm feeling good right now, feeling really good right now. So, with all those that are tuning in, you want to welcome you to the show, of course, no doubt. And, of course, I got to go through the roll call like we always do, like my brother Dow does. And I want to, first of all, say we got my brother Edward L. Fairley in the building. What's up, bro?
Good evening. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, I can't call you. What's going on, man? Brother Dow hit me up just not too long ago. He's handling some issues, but he's handling business for the family. And you know how we are here. We take care of family first. So big shout out to Brother Dow here. He's joining us. No doubt. also. He's down a roll call. Brother Haas is at work, but he'll be tuning in like he always do now in the season two. I want to give a big shout out to the other panel, my brother Hassan Black. And we can't forget about Brother Delancey Davis, you know, powerful brother. Big shout out to Brother Delancey Davis, one of our specialists, we call him. You know, we bring him in as a specialist. And, of course, we can't forget about the one and only brother, Tom Reynolds, the president of the Montclair chapter, the NAACP. So, once again, shout out to you, brother. All right. So, what's going on, El? What's going on, brother?
Man, no, I'm just waking up. Got me a little nap. I had to get that little injection of energy. But a lot is going on.
All right.
Preparing.
What's up?
Yeah. NASA, they by high demand, they want me back. So got a contract working on that they're working on to get me back. I actually start back working on their training on Tuesday of next week.
Okay, congratulations, brother. No doubt.
Working hard on that. The prototype for my the Increasing Your Relationship IQ board game.
Okay.
And just a whole bunch of other projects that I'm working on, but those are the two main things that I've been working on and focusing on, and of course the money for the to the root of it television show.
Okay. No doubt, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been, man. I'm just glad to be on, man. I'm always like yourself. Man. I'm working and, you know, I'm building the show from work and, you know, but it's, you know what, I got to count my blessings. I can't complain about it, bro, because at the end of the day, some people can't even get a job or a gig or, you know, have the opportunity to be blessed, to even have the resources or even work, you know what I'm saying? So I got to count my blessings. I can't complain about it because some guys out here really struggle to get one job or even a part-time.
Yeah.
So yeah, shout out to all those. I think we got maybe a guest host online. Let me just gonna give this caller real quick.
Okay.
Welcome to the Man of Talk Show. You're online. Who we got online? Hello? All right. I guess we still on hold. The call dropped, so it's all good. I think we got somebody else. Let me just pick this person online. You're on the Man of Talk Show. Who we have online?
Tom Reynolds.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Doing well. How about you?
Let me get a proper introduction, brother Tom Little. He's also on the panel. What's going on, brother?
Hey, enjoying life.
Oh man, feeling blessed, brother. Feeling blessed, man. How was your week, brother?
Well, we got some education issues in Montclair now, but yeah, we're gonna take them on like we do everything else.
Okay. There's a, you know, we're going to spin around the room before we get to this topic. Because tonight's topic, we're going to talk about more money, more problems. You know, with that being said, you know how it is. Just because you have money don't mean necessarily it could be a positive thing. But if you're not managing it correctly, it can also be a bad thing for you. You know, it can be a blessing and a curse the same way. And I'm pretty sure both you gentlemen can give your input, your knowledge on it, and just maybe some experiences that other listeners can associate with. So, I mean, you know, before we go into this little brief interlude, Brother Tom, you got anything going on with the NAACP that some of our listeners need to be aware of?
You know, we actually have Congressman Payne coming on Thursday the 26th, and we're going to be asking, you know, hold him accountable on these voting rights issues. And then on the 23rd, we're going to be, you know, calling our Board of Ed to task about these class sizes. They've got classes at the high school in Montclair and other schools that are in excess of 30, 35, 36 students. And, you know, all the research says that, you know, the most effective class sizes are 15 to 17. So, you know, we're going to try to figure out how we can make sure that we reduce the achievement gap and make sure these class sizes get down to something manageable, where our black minority and poor students can do better.
Well, I mean, that's something definitely we want to get out to a lot of our listeners. So what we're going to do, we're going to take about maybe about 4 minutes. We'll go to brief interlude, and I want to come back to the topic. Tonight's topic, for those just tuning in, is the Man Up Talk Show, More Money, More Problems. We're going to discuss about finances, proper responsibility. It goes with finances, some of the mistakes we all have made, me included, what we do with our money. You know, and I believe we're going to have an expert on this. Well, excuse me, I say expert. Someone who's been able to have some success in managing money. So we're going to try to get that person on. Brother Al Harris will be on a little later on. So once again, you know, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. Going to a little brief music interlude. And gentlemen, let's come back and let's attack this topic. Is that cool with you guys?
Yeah, man. For
sure. All right, let me know for sure. Once again, Man Up Talk Show.
Tell me who flop, who cop the blue drop, who jewels drop. Two more people, she down to the blue drop. The same old pimp, mace, you know ain't nothing changed but my limp. Can't stop, try, see my name on the blimp. Guarantee me and shell full of love, luck. You don't believe in Harlem World, nigga, double up. We don't play around, it's a bet, lay it down. Niggas didn't know me, 91, bet they know me now. I'm the young Harlem nigga with the goldie sound. Can't no TV, niggas hold me down. Cooler, school me to the game, now I know my duty. Stay humble, stay low, blow like Woody. True pimp, nigga, spin no dough on the booty. When you yell, there go Mace, there go your cutie.
More problems, more money, more problems. That is the topic tonight. More money, more problems. So, once again, welcome to the Man Up Talks. Mr. Naz, you know, Wayne, Mr. Naz, Holland. I'm shooting the government out there. This is how it's getting down. Once again, we got my brothers online. What's going on, gentlemen? Y'all ready to attack this topic?
Let's do it.
Let's go. More money, more problems. So let's spin it around the room. I know Ed always has a way to show a different light to make us think about things. I want to go to Tom first. Hello? Hello, Eddie?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, how you guys want to spin around with this topic first? More money, more problems. Maybe I'll do the starter first. I mean, I suck at saving the money. Let's just cut to the chase. You know, all that, I'm a working man. You know what, man? It appears that more money I make, more that someone's taking, either the government, the bills, the children. What else? You got the insurance. You got the listening. I mean, I suck. Real talk. let's just cut through the chase. I'm not. See, no, I hate when Chef you try to tell me, well, yeah, you got a nice car, you got a nice crib, you got business going. Listen, man, I don't mean nothing. Mm-hmm. So I mean, can one of you brothers help me get it under order? Give me some enlightenment before the show is over. I can do a better job. And at the same time, I don't like to eat noodles and noodles every night. So I don't know. Who want to help us out here? Or maybe you want to share your experiences. What about you, brother?
You want to go first time or what?
No, I suck a little less, but still suck.
Oh my goodness! I didn't expect you to say that.
No, let's be honest. I made some poor decisions in college. They had those, the certain fundraisers where they signed kids up for credit cards and.
Credit card.
Yes. And, I got my credit card. They gave me my limit. I did really well for, let's say, 8 months. And then they raised my credit limit, and I had no business having a higher credit limit. Next thing I know, I'm finding out what all those jokes were about the credit card, the collector's calling. But it was a valuable lesson I learned about not spending more than you can pay off.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that was the beginning of my history, my lessons in credit, in understanding credit.
Tom, I got a question for you now. I think every college and all any listeners from college, they can understand this. They're sending out these credit cards, and they're giving it to these college students. Don't they realize you don't give a credit limit, whether it's $250 to $500, to a college student? You didn't have, they're trying to get through class, they're limiting either on the financial aid or maybe the parent's stipend, if they even get that, or they have to wait for any excess money from the financial aid. You just don't give, you don't give a college student credit cards. I mean, I learned the hard way, too. I haven't seen a good credit score in so damn long. I just stopped asking. They just kicked me out the bank. Like, yo, why are you even here? Get out. Why are you here, son? Get out. Seriously.
They've got a sign at the door, just like him. This is the first time.
I mean, it's funny because people, and we had an argument, actually, maybe about a couple months ago. Somebody was saying, this white guy was very clear, but he's one of those straight-up white guys. He was like, listen, man, a lot of you black people spend outside of your means. So we sitting at the meeting like, oh, you done got the party started.
I think there's another issue that, this really kind of speaks to, which is when do we talk to our kids about financial management and understanding finances.
Right.
As a people, we are not the best at talking to our kids about that. We sitting them down, understanding how we pay our bills, where that money comes from, what that means. One of my favorite jokes is that Cat Williams one where his son's like, I want the new Jordans. Like, and I took him down to the Payless, and I was like, I can get you the Jordans. or I can get you five of these shoes that light up and do everything else.
Did a few sun, man.
Yeah, those sort of conversations that need to happen sooner in our community, especially because we're behind the curve.
That's true. That's true. I mean, you know, I've sat down and talked to my son about it, and actually I got to tell you the truth. My son is actually a better saver than I am, but, you know, also he doesn't pay a lot of bills, too. So there's two parts to this that conversation. He's good in that part, but then, you know, it's amazing how, you know, I want to, you know, he wants to save, and they're like, well, Dad, you know, I need this. I'm like, okay, you know, save for it. He'll save. Well, if I can't go half, don't you got a couple of dollars in your account? How'd that work? Well, Dad, I saved. Well, you live in my house. But, you know, but I totally agree with you, Tom, about sitting our children down at an early age and educating them on proper savings. I totally understand the fact that they have to understand the value of money. I mean, you know, just the fact that, you know, they save money in order to buy a toy that they want or a particular item they want, they'll have more respect for that personal item because they took the time to save, they worked for it, and got it. So that's the teaching that I did in my house. Brother Eddie?
This is actually one of my probably second favorite topics, finance. And you all are definitely right. We are way behind the curve on this. And I actually used to teach about finance in 2003, 2004. And I oftentimes share information with others. And the first thing that we need to know, well, there's a lot of things we need to know, but one of the first things we need to know and understand is not necessarily how much you make, it's how much you keep. A lot of times we focus on the making aspect, and if you don't understand money, like, just first of all, money does not come with instruction. There's nothing that really tells you, hey, this is what you do with money, but there's definitely a lot of resources that you can utilize to learn the value of money. One thing you don't necessarily want to do, I hear you say a lot, Nas, is save your money. To just save money is not a good idea, and the reason for that is it's money, the value of money, especially our currency, decreases all the time. You don't want to keep money. You want to keep money moving, flowing and moving. A lot of people, you know, they put their money in a savings account or bank or anything and stuff like that where the value of that dollar decreases. I mean, the cost of inflation increases about 4%, yet they're telling you to put your money in a CD account that gives you 1%, maybe 2% back, which means you're losing money by saving money. Just little things like that people don't understand, but a big issue that the African American community has a problem with when it comes to money is they don't understand or grasp the concept of an asset versus a liability. The things that we purchase are liabilities, and we treat them or assume that they're assets, and which causes us to lose and waste our money. We spend money on stuff like cars, all the things that decrease in value as soon as you purchase them. So a lot of people, like my wife in conclusion, I do not wash my car. I'm just not that guy. I'm not a big fan of vehicles or anything like that, but you'll never see me waxing a car or, man, that car is hot, or getting excited about a car because I understand the value of a car. And the difference between those who understand money and those who don't understand money is those who don't understand money, again, like I said, purchase liabilities as if they're assets. And the opposite for those who do understand money. They buy assets and they spend less on liabilities, or they create assets that pay for liabilities or the things that we would think are so wonderful. Now let's explain what the difference between an asset and a liability is. An asset is something that puts money into your pocket. A liability is something that takes money out of your pocket. It's as simple as that. So an asset is something that puts money into your pocket, and liability is something that takes money out of your pocket. Oftentimes, a
accountant or what have you will say that your house is an asset, which it's not. It depends on how you utilize that house as to whether it's an asset or liability. Now, with the definition of an asset and a liability, if an asset is something that puts money into your pocket, if you're not paying money out of your pocket to purchase or pay for your house, what's going to happen to your house in three months?
You said asset, you said liability. A lot of people, listeners, we do have a couple of listeners that you know, checking in from the local college areas. Big shout out to Montclair State University. Can't forget about Rutgers. Had an opportunity to kind of let them know about the show. Also, big shout out to Matt Stevens. I believe they're listening to the show. We're going to be in the Star Ledger. They mentioned us, the paper in New Jersey, in New York area. So, you know, we're getting some love, and, you know, people are listening. But for those young listeners, you said asset and liability. You may want to repeat that because they don't understand that what's an asset compared to a liability and finances,
yeah,
and ownership, something like that.
Okay. An asset is something that puts money into your pocket. A liability is something that takes money out of your pocket. So what we tend to do is, in our minds, because, again, we don't understand money, we think money associates with things, cars, house, sneakers, a way of dress, Prada, Gucci, all those things, the red bottom shoes. So we purchase these things to say that I have money, when in actuality, those people that do that normally don't have money. If you ever encounter and speak to millionaires on a regular basis, and those are the people that wear things that are just kind of regular clothing. That's why they have successful shows like there's a millionaire next door, or just different shows where there's wealthy people that you don't realize are wealthy and they're doing stuff with them. Those people, They are walking around. They're normal looking people, but what they're doing with their money is totally different, and the mindset is much different from us. You guys, you all brought up a credit card. You brought up credit cards. Now with credit cards, you said, don't they know that the worst person to give it to is a college student? Yes, that's why they do it. The point of a credit card is for you to get in debt. The whole point of a credit card is for you to get in debt, because either they get paid off of your credit card money is if you have to pay interest on it. So if you have a credit card with a $500 limit and you use $100, if you pay that $100 back in 30 days, there's no interest on that credit card. So you got to use their money for free for 30 days and get it back as a loan. But after you pass that 30-day mark, There's a percentage fee on that, so that's where the money comes into play. When you're behind, that's when they get paid late fees and interest. That helps their business. If everyone paid their credit cards on time, those people wouldn't make any money. It's pretty much loan sharks, if you will. I let you borrow this money for a certain percentage. Now you gotta pay me more than what I loaned you. That's how they make money. Otherwise, they make absolutely no money if you're doing the right thing with your credit card. So they hope that you miss your credit card payment. You have to understand that. Now, there's another thing. There's a difference between good debt and bad debt. Wealthy people are in the most debt there is, but it's a good
debt. I must be wealthy as hell.
No. I said it's a good debt.
You bring up a really good point.
I said it's a good debt and a bad debt. Now, bad debt is stuff like your car note, your house note, stuff that you have to pay off your credit cards and stuff like that. Those are considered bad debt. Now, good debt is if I go to the bank and I borrow $50,000 for a duplex or a single family home, and I rent that out, and I'm making money on the loan that I took from you, and paying you and keeping money from that. That's a good bet that I'm in. I owe you money, but I'm making money off the money that I owe you. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's good debt that you want to have. I know I'm bouncing all over the place because this is just a bounce all over the place type topic. As far as our children, what we tend to do, and which is why they don't really understand money, is we keep the ideas or our understandings of money, as little as that tends to be, to ourselves, and we make money to seem like a bad thing. Well, Dad, Dad or Mom, how much is that? That's none of your business. Are you paying the bill? They're stuck with the mindset that all of this stuff that we're getting is free, and we wonder why we get mad and think our children are ungrateful because we didn't break down to them how much bills are and what bills we got to pay and how far we're behind. Yet we're getting them Christmas gifts, Christmas clothes, school clothes, all this stuff, food, and all this stuff comes into the household. They don't necessarily equate that to you're going to work every month, every week, and then after you get home from work, you are breaking that money down to spend on these different bills that's allowing these lights to stay on, the cable to be on, and all that stuff. And they're just thinking that this is just the way life is. I get, and it's not necessarily work that comes with it. Hell, I'm in school all day. You're at work all day. We come home, everything on, food works. The food is on, the lights work, all that stuff. And you never sat down and explained to that person or your child how that is done. Now, the way that I do it, as you all know, my whole thing is I'm raising adults. My children are being raised to adults. To be adults. They're not raised to be older children, then older children, and then what I hear all the time. It's okay, wait till you get out to the real world. Then when you get to the real world, they're assed out because they don't know what the heck to do. I'm walking to my son's door right now so I can read to you what he has been having to do since he was probably 11. It says, my son's name is Chris. It says, Chris's monthly bills / responsibilities. Okay? It says, what we have done, we've taken all of our bills and we've divided those in half. We divided those in half, and those are his bills. Are they really his bills? Not really. It's kind of a mental state, which is what money is. It's a mindset. We'll get into that in a few. Money is a mindset. It's not necessarily a real thing. But it says, Chris's monthly bills / responsibilities. It says, monthly bills total $1,135. It says, one, his rent is $650. My son's 14 now. It says, one, his rent is $650. Two, his lights are $70. Three, his gas for bus / transportation is $65. Four, his food is $160. Five, his phone is $40. Six, his cable is $70. Seven, his water is $35. Eight, the toiletries, deodorant, soap, et cetera, $25. Nine, his haircut is $20. Extra expenses like eating out, things not prepared at home, field trips, parties, movies, et cetera, are $10 extra per expense. Also, any snacks like honey buns, fruit snacks, bags of chips, et cetera, are $2 extra outside of what comes with your lunch and one extra anytime after school. If light or any electric appliance is left on when you leave the house, it is $5 extra on your light bill. Gas for transportation to places you ask to go is $2. Then it says his job responsibilities to produce an income of $65 per day, possible income or monthly income of $1,300 is Monday through Friday. You must go to school, do your homework, iron your clothes, make your lunch for the next day, and if clothes are washed that day, you must fold and put away your own clothes. Monday, clean your bathroom, take out bathroom trash if full, plus your Monday through Friday duties. Tuesday, wash dishes and sink after dinner and take out kitchen trash if full, plus Monday through Friday duties. Wednesday, clean your room spotless, plus Monday through Friday duties. Thursday, wash dishes and sink after dinner, take out kitchen trash if full, plus Monday through Friday duties. Then it says Friday, make sure your room and bathroom are neat and presentable and enjoy your weekend. Then it says at the bottom, if school is not attended outside of the school being closed for that day, $35 will be subtracted from your pay for that day.
You get 4 sick days per year. Anything else that is not done that is supposed to be done during a particular work day, $10 will be subtracted from your pay per item. Then it says rent. The food base, gas, and water will be paid. So if you are short at the end of the month, the first thing you lose will be your lights, which means your TV will not be able to be used and video games will not be able to be played, nor will you be able to go out to parties or out with friends, etc.
Whoa.
This is how I create I'm a simulator. Everything I do in my teaching, in my coaching, anything like that, I create or bring the environment to the situation to put them in it. So when my son leaves the house, he's going to already be accustomed to working and paying his bills. Now, when I first did this, he was about 11, and he got really excited. He was like, oh, so I can have extra honey buns and potato chips and all that stuff or whatever. And I was like, yeah, but you're just going to have to pay for it. He's like, cool. So he went downstairs. He getting extra snacks and all kinds of stuff, just living it up. My wife was about to make him stop. I said, no, leave him alone. So he's getting extra snacks and everything. And by the end of the month, a boy had a birthday party and invited everyone.
Okay.
And he had been splurging on all the snacks and stuff in the pantry downstairs. So the boy had a party, and he invited Chris to go to the, I think it was a skating party. He asked us, could he go? Said, do you have the money to go to the party? Well, no. Okay. Do you have the money to get the gas for me to take you to the party? Well, no. Do you have the money for the skates and everything? No. Well, you can't go to the party. He was devastated, crushed, hurt, pissed. But me being me, every lesson is an opportunity. I did not allow him to go to that daggone game. And from then on, my son knows and allocates his money the way that he is supposed to do so because of that one experience. And he was not allowed to go to a party because his money wasn't right. Now, as far as the money, we use Monopoly money. There should be tax stores around you called teachers and parent stores. You get that money and you disseminate that money to the child at the end of or every 2 weeks or whatever to allocate their money for their bills or for them working. And that actually exchanged for real money. So if he has money left over, and the first time I realized that this worked outside of that was his Xbox broke. And he was like, man, I think he got a red eye or something like that, red ring, whatever the heck
you
call it.
Yeah, that ring, they call it the ring of death.
Okay. So he got that, and he was like, man, my Xbox broke. I said, well, how much does it cost to fix your Xbox? And he named the price. He had figured out some guy that would be able to do it for a certain price. And I said, well, how much do you have? He said, man, it's going to take me about three payments for me to be able to afford to get my Xbox fixed. So he, in his mind, allocated how his money was going to be broken down and how he was going to be able to save his money to pay for his red ring issue. And he knew down to the date when he was going to be able to get his stuff fixed, which meant he's considering all the things that he's going through, paying his bills and all that stuff like that, to take care of unnecessary problems. Hell, we get water heaters that break, our tires burst, and all kinds of stuff all the time. And these things he now understands come out of our pay, and it has to go towards different things. So that's how I implement that with my children so that they're prepared when they get older to do this stuff.
Wow.
But we have to create, instead of sending them out to the real world, we have to bring the real world to them so that when they get out into the real world won't be new to them. It'll be secondhand nature.
That's a great analogy, bro.
But that's pretty much it for that. As far as teaching the children, you got to get them, if you don't want to share their bills, cut your bills in half, make them their bills, and make them work. As you can see, him going to school, all that stuff is a part of how he makes his $65 a day based on his housework and all that stuff. So now your house and stuff is clean. He does not consider it just something I got to do. Dang, I got to do it. He's working with a plan and a purpose and with the intent of getting paid in mind. Now, that's a worker mentality. I don't necessarily want my children to have jobs. Sorry, I hurt to make anybody upset, but I remember I told you all a lot of people or rich people or wealthy people, they create assets that cover their expenses. Mm-hmm. Everything that I do, as far as my income is concerned, I'll do stuff one time to create an asset, something that puts money into my pocket in hopes that it's going to eventually cover my expenses. Good example one is going to be my book. So I wrote my book one time, and now it consistently sells and provides money for me without me having to do any work outside of maybe marketing and telling people about it. So that job that I did one time puts money into my pocket forever. That's creating an asset. So what a wealthy person does is, okay, I see this car. The car costs, or the SUV costs $50,000. What they will do is they will go create an asset that's going to produce them $50,000 and pay for it. They'll never come out of their actual money to pay for something that's a liability. Mm-hmm, we spend our important money or whatever on things that aren't worth anything. So if you ever see a wealthy person driving the Benz and stuff like that, they didn't necessarily, well, let's define a wealthy person. You have your football players, your rappers and stuff like that who get the money. Those people are considered rich, but the people who are signing their checks are considered the wealthy people. A lot of people that are considered rich, they don't necessarily understand money, which is why, back to money being a mindset, they win millions of dollars. You got your MC Hammers, you got your Mike Tyson and stuff like that, and after a few years, that money's gone because it's not money that's going to solve your problems if you don't understand money. If you don't understand money, you're buying all these liabilities that you have to pay for as opposed to purchasing assets that will help eventually put money into your pocket and keep that money growing and in turn allow you to stay afloat or making your money grow instead of just consistently decreasing and devaluing itself.
Okay.
Yes.
But Brother Tom, I mean, I really want to know your aspect. I mean, you know, Ed had how he teaches his family, his children. I mean, just from your perspective, what has worked for you in teaching?
That's all right, brother. What works for me in teaching? I didn't catch the last part of that.
What works for you? I mean, Ed gave his analogy and his way he does things. And please, listeners, please understand, what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for everybody else. But it seems to have a level of success in his home, which is that, you know, we're just trying to gather information together that will help, you know, a lot of people in their financial decision-making. But Brother Tom, what some of the things that you've done to help teach some of our youth, or even maybe, let's even say people our age, you know, people past 21, past 30, you know, because, you know, damn it, we can all learn.
So I guess, you know, I'm going to go back a little to myself on this. And one of the things I did, when I was working my way to get out of the amount of debt I got myself into in college, was I kind of took a view of what do I want sort of my future to be, right? I thought of the things that I love doing, and then I started thinking about, you know, what am I spending my money on? I'm spending it on going out, dinners with friends, buying, you know, frivolous toys, basically. And then I was like, well, those things are kind of getting in the way of me doing the things I love doing. So I love playing golf, and I love sailing, and I love spending quality time with friends and my sister. So anything that you know, sort of take that isn't love or need is really just, you know, a want. And then I started thinking, like, okay, well, if I want this, how does that affect what I love doing? You know, can I go? Can I you know, get a season pass at a ski resort, which I would love doing if I go out to eat dinner 4 days a week? Yeah, you know,
okay.
I can't. You know, that all adds up. So that was the mindset I kind of took, and that changed how I look at things. And one of the other things I do is I very openly talk, you know, with my very close circle of friends. Finances is something that we talk about openly and honestly. So we even have, like, an investors club right now where we're all, like, you know, sharing stock tips and stuff for each other because, like the brother said, you know, money sitting still is losing to inflation.
Good point.
Yeah. And one of the greatest quotes I've ever told, you know, millions of dollars are lost $10 and $20 at a time. Yeah, he mentioned the millionaire next door. The book had it with the, you know, the average millionaire is wearing, like, you know, the one quality pair of jeans he bought that he just got, like, you know, three pairs, but they were like $20, but they laughed at him, and he's driving the same truck he's been driving for a while, and he understands how to save and how to make his money work for him and how to make it increase on his own. You know, we were all getting on Mitt Romney with his massive amounts of money. He's probably not even touching his money. He's probably just living off the interest and the dividends.
Wow. That's a good one. You mean, hold on, Brother Tom, you got to repeat that, because listeners, hear what Brother Tom just said. He's living off of the interest. The money's there. It's been made already. And that's the point that Brother Ed just said. He created the asset. That the money is still coming in.
You know, I think that's
smart, brother.
Yeah. You know, one of my mentors was, when I sat down and talked with him, my grandmother got me hooked up with him, and he started talking about, you know, buying a house. And he's like, and I was like, you know, I was looking for something. I saw this great place. It was like the perfect size for just me. And he's like, no, stop. You're going to get your first place you get, you're going to get a two-family or more, because you're going to have someone helping you pay that rent. You know, they don't have to be in your space, but they're not, you know, you're not just going to have a liability. You know, then you've got someone helping you pay the mortgage, the bills, and everything else, and you've got an income coming off of your house. And that, you know, that changed my mind a little bit. It's like, oh, wait, maybe I'm not going to get that, you know, small starter house for myself, you know. Upgrade to the two-family where you can rent out some part of it and you can live in another part. And then if the money starts getting right, you can maybe get another one. Or, you know,
that's right.
And then start using that as more assets and instead of having your house be a liability. I'm in a slightly different place than you were saying. I don't have a kid. I talked to my sister about her finances. She's in high school. And she somehow she got this saving gene, I guess, from her uncle that I didn't get. But she very much has the, like, oh, well, there, you know, she's been saving for a while. We've been doing this matching savings program that from when she got her first job, where every time, however much she saves, I will match what she saves. So this year, she gives me a call. She's like, oh, are you going to Rock the Bells? And I was like, I was thinking about it. And she's like, all right, well, I'm going to fly up and go to Rock the Bells with you. I was like, whoa, I guess you've been doing a good job, David. I mean, I know part of that was me chipping in, but, you know, it really also put in perspective for her what she would love to do versus, you know, what she just likes doing, what people peer pressure her into doing, and so on and so forth. So that's probably the biggest takeaway. And I got to give a shout out to two people who really taught me that, which would be Tiffany Alice, The Budget Nista. If you haven't read her books, you should. She does an amazing job at letting you understand how to put together a budget and how to understand the difference between what you want, need, love, and want, love, and need. And then there's Chike Uzoko, who does this program around teaching young black boys the value of money and understanding finances and starting your own business. So right now, I'm still taking lessons from him on how to start a business, but it's those two people who really helped shape my, who shape what I do.
Okay, well, maybe we need to get them on the show. I mean,
yeah,
something like
now,
that is get, all essential.
If you don't mind, I wanted to just give a quick history lesson. First of all, you're exactly right, Tom. Definitely purchasing assets. I call it, in my mind, I call it creating banks. Anytime I created an asset, I created a bank that just consistently gives me money, like an ATM machine. So, like I stated, I do things one time to make it an asset, and then I go, like, for instance, okay, I do a training at NASA. One of the stipulations with that is they have to record it, and I get a DVD of that training. After I did that training once, they paid me to do the training. Now mm-hmm. I sell the training for maybe $20 as a DVD for training for someone else to be able to purchase. So now I've created an asset from me working, and I just have different assets that are there for people to purchase that will continuously pay me with me doing work one time. And that's the same thing with you purchasing a house. It's on a smaller scale, but it's going to eventually add up. So with me, with you purchasing a house, and if you're selling it to where or you're renting it out, which is why I can't understand how people get so caught up in wanting to buy and flip houses. That's, to me, that's kind of the dumbest way to invest, because if you buy a house and you rent it out for a lifetime until you sell that house, you're going to always get paid on the house. It's infinite money, and eventually you're going to pay the house off. You're going to pay the house off. So even after the house is paid off, everything they pay you monthly to rent the house is your money. But people buy, again, people that don't understand money, they'll purchase a house, which is a terrible house to try to a terrible economy anyway to try to flip houses. But they'll purchase a house for low, try to fix it up and sell it high. Okay, but that's a one-time payment on that. If I give you $50,000, all right, let's put it this way. If you win $1 million, you are a millionaire. Mm-hmm. You spend $1 of that $1 million, you're no longer a millionaire. Do you understand what I'm saying? If all you have is $1 million, the day that you get the million, you're a millionaire. Soon as you pay, you buy a stick of gum, you are no longer a millionaire once you get under that million. Okay? So what I'm saying is, if you have a house that you can potentially rent out and you flipped it for $50,000, you have a house that you could be renting out for maybe $300 profit a month, $250. I wouldn't do anything less than $250 a month profit. So you get that every month for the rest of your life as long as you have the house. That's going to surpass $50,000 that you just got one time. I'm in the creating banks because, for one, your light bills never stop. Your phone bill never stops. So
you
I need someone that's going to consistently pay those things every single month. So if I have money coming in every single month that's covering those things, I don't have to work anymore. That's true retirement. Retirement is not being 65. I need people to understand that. Retirement is not having to work and still being able to maintain your way of living. Now, history lesson. Why money is not the value of money sucks, especially American money. Back in the day, we used to be on what they call the gold standard. Gold standard means back in the day, what we used to do was exchange goods for goods. I mean, I'm talking way, 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 way back in the day. Like, I give you three chickens for one goat. We exchange our goods for goods, okay? This is how transactions were done. I give you three of my chickens to get one of your goats, and that's a transaction or what have you. Then as time went by, we had gold. We exchanged gold for goods or services, okay? So I have all these gold bricks, and I want whatever it is that I purchase from you. I will have to give you these heavy gold bricks to cover the cost of whatever it is that I have. Now, it is hard to walk around carrying heavy behind gold bricks, okay? No one's going to be able to walk around with heavy gold bricks everywhere. So what they had was they had people that held their gold bricks, and they wrote a note, like a promissory note, to the person that you did business with, and eventually that transaction was done in a manner where you got the service or the thing that you wanted to purchase, and the person that had the note delivered the heavy gold item to that person, and that was y'all's transaction. The mm-hmm. U.S. used mm-hmm. to be on gold standard, meaning every dollar equated to that amount in gold in the bank. Okay? You with me?
Okay. Now, what you said?
The dollar was on a gold standard. So whenever you exchange a dollar, that means you had that much gold in a bank. That's when they mm-hmm, exchanged mm-hmm. dollars for gold, okay? That's when we transitioned to make currency, which was lighter, to replace walking around with all the heavy gold. We were on a gold standard. So if I gave you a dollar, that was definitely a dollar's worth of gold, kind of a cheaper of your gold, okay? So that's how banks work. Let's fast forward to, I want to say, 1971. Nixon took our dollar off of the gold standard, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What did that
mm-hmm.
mean? When Nixon took our dollar off the gold standard, it said that a bank can say, for every dollar you give me, we can say that we have $6.
For every dollar I
go to your bank, I get a bank account. For every dollar I give the bank can say they have $6 in the bank.
Okay.
You with me?
Okay.
So basically,
let's go.
They pulled money out of the air. They just created money out of thin air. And they say that for every dollar, I have 6 or 12 or however much money they have. And what's crazy is the banks won't teach you to necessarily invest. They'll take your money and invest that money where they don't want you to invest to get the opposite of what your credit cards do. They get the inflation or the growth of the money that works for them as opposed to it going negatively for you.
Wow.
So, rule of 72 says that 72 divided by the percentage that you're supposed to be getting back on your money is how many years it's going to take for your money to double. Okay?
Dang.
So if you go to you need to say dang, because when you go to these banks and y'all say, I'm going to get me a CD account or I'm investing this, you take the number 72 and divide it by the percentage that they're gonna give you back, and that's how many years $1 is gonna turn to $2.
Damn.
Yeah, damn is right. So if you got $72 and you put it in a CD account that's giving you 1%, it's gonna take you 72 years for your dollar to turn to $2. Now, my question to you all listening is, how many 72 years you got?
Are you talking about black America?
No, people, period. People, hell, especially black America, people excited that they made it to 25 in black America.
No, yeah, you might.
How many 72 years you got for your money to double, yes, but I say all that to say this to understand how money works. So banks are saying that they have – now, if we were to all go to the banks and take all of our money out, they don't have the money to cover what they say they had. That's why our money does not carry a standard or a value anymore, because we're no longer on the gold standard, which is why they can give you a credit card and say that you have it when you really don't have it. Think about it. You just swipe the card and say that you have it. They went through a system that said the bank that says that they have 6 to your 1 has the money. They transact it, give it to them, and boom. But the money is not really in the bank. It's kind of like cell phones.
I hope you all know and understand that a cell phone has an IP address and a house phone has an IP address. They buy a certain amount of IP addresses, maybe 50,000 maybe, because they're banking on the fact that you're not everybody's not going to be on the phone at the same time, okay? So when you make a phone call, your IP address is being utilized. That out of the 50 that they had, the 50,000 that they had, which is why on things like 9/11, your Christmases and stuff like that, when you make it, when a whole bunch of people are calling, you can't get out on your phone because all of the IP addresses are trying to be utilized. Are you following me?
You're going deep, but I'm with you. Listen, I'm with you. For the time, you following you with him?
For example, I did telecommunications for years. If everybody in your neighborhood picked up their phone at the same time, one out of four people, they have one node or one IP address per phone line, per four phone numbers or phone lines. So everyone in your neighborhood cannot pick up their phone and have a dial tone at the same time because they only purchase a certain amount for a certain amount of time. But I'm just saying that's how banks work. They only have a certain amount of money, but they say that they have – it seems like they have more when in actuality, if you went to go take it all out, they wouldn't have it. You would be asked out.
That's a good analogy. Asked out. I mean, literally.
It's not a good idea to put your money under a mattress. It's not a good idea to put it in like a CD account or whatever, especially if you divide by 72, which is why people get into like real estate and stuff like that, because the percentage are much higher. So you divide 75%. I mean, 72 divided by 25 or 12 is what they try to say stocks are. I wouldn't necessarily trust that anymore. And you have less time for your money to double, which makes it a better investment or what have you. Trying to figure out where I was going with all that. Oh, if you want to save money or just hold your money, this is what I would recommend. Buy silver or gold. You can buy silver or gold bullion cubes. You can buy silver or gold. Like if you just want to hold your money, you got, which is good to have. This is what I live by. We pay ourselves, we pay our tithes, ourselves and we pay our tithes, and we have a savings that goes to, like I was saying, like a gold or something like that, or some type of investment that'll make us money. So that's what I mean by we pay ourselves, and then we pay our bills. That's how we do it. We pay ourselves, we pay God first. Now, Todd, I'm not sure what your religion and stuff is. That's 10%, but that you can go to charity or whatever. Because if you're not giving back, you're not getting blessed. I'm gonna tell you that right now. I don't care who you are. If you pay attention to the wealthy people, they're always giving charities and stuff like that because they understand this rule. If you're not giving out, you're not nothing's coming in. So if 10%, I tithe my 10% all the time, and then put another 10 towards us and another 10 towards savings. Now, what the problem is, and when I say savings, I'm saying stuff like an investment or like I was saying, the gold or silver. So when we put our money into stuff like that, that is where our money is. Now, what the problem is, if you don't, we have a savings and we know what's in it and we go and get it when we think we need it. If you're going to pay, you need to pay yourself or a savings like you're paying a bill without expecting to see it again. That's what you got to treat it like, but we don't. So we treat it like, oh, nah, I know I got this $5,000 sitting over here and this is the issue that I have. Let's go do this. Instead of saying, okay, this is all I have, that money is nothing to touch, I need to figure out where I'm going to get this $3,000 from. Treat it like you spent it and you cannot touch it. For whatever you want to call it, a rainy day, an investment, or whatever, that's how you have to treat it.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, I think you nailed it right there, bro. I mean, paying yourself, I mean, I'm working on that. I personally need to work on that. A lot better, hell of a lot better, but I'm improving.
I'm improving, brothers.
But,
I mean,
and that's the thing, Nas. I'm saying, like, it's hard. A lot of people, we get more money, and we make bigger bills. And if you can work on these principles with a little bit of money, when you get a lot of money, it'll be all right. But the problem is we don't work on it with a little bit of money, and we wonder why we don't get a lot of money, because you can't be trusted with a lot of money yet because you don't know how to do it with the small money. I hear people say it all the time, man, Lord, I would love to bless the church, or I would love to pay my 10% or whatever, but I don't have right now. But if and when I get blessed, that's when I'm going to take care of the church. No, you're not. Then let me tell you why. Because if you can't give the church $10 from $100, you're not giving the church $1,000 from $100,000. You're not gonna do it. If you get $3,000 back from your income tax check, you're gonna be like, $300. I can't do $300. So if you start with small things like 10 to 100 or 1 to 100, that's when you're working on understanding and being able to do so, because that number just gets bigger the bigger your money is, and that's when you're gonna be like,
It appears that we have a first lady online. What I want to do right now, I want to go to a brief interlude, and I want to return that one. Of course, the lovely Miss Sig, and I want to hear what Brother Tom has to say on this one, because, you know, I want to know the stance as far as what the NAACP is also doing with education and things that we can also be a part of, because, you know, now I got my son listening to the show, and his college friends, you know, they said he wasn't going to listen to the show, but, you know, now he's like, oh, I checked out the show today.
Yeah. When we get back, when we get back, I'm going to definitely say, first of all, Sig is awesome with stuff like this. She's giving me some little tips and snippets that I absolutely love, and I'm adopting. But when we get back, before we leave, I'm going to tell y'all what we need to do, or what you can do to get rid of your debt. To slowly get rid of your debt, plans you can utilize to get rid of your debt, as well as something else that I just didn't think of, and I'll get back to you when I come back to that. But ways to eliminate your debt, and we'll go from there. But I know Sig is gonna bring a lot to the table when it comes to this. So,
definitely. So let's go to a brief interlude, gentlemen, and we're gonna come back with the first lady, the lovely Signature Black, and once again to the Man of Talk Show, Brother Darryl, Brother Tom, Brother Ed L. Fairley, make sure I got it right, and my man, Brother Hot Tom Black, and of course the lovely, lovely First Lady of the Man of Talk Show. We're doing it every week, so once again, welcome to the Man of Movement. So we'll be back in about like 7 minutes. Let's go.
I had to wet my whistle. Oh, I'm sorry, my bad.
That's for Louisiana. They are on the check-in. My man, we had a couple of events we did for a couple of good people out of Louisiana and North Carolina area. And he was like, you know, why don't you take care of me? So big shout-out to my man, Big L. He calls himself Big L out of Louisiana. We had the pleasure of hanging out with them a little bit, doing a couple of events. They had a 50th anniversary party for their parents. It was a wedding. So much shout-out going out to Big L and his family, Sharice Robinson and their family. They put together a real great event for their parents, celebrating 50 years in marriage. And they were like, can you play Wet My Whistle on your show and kind of give us a shout-out? So there's a quarter. So, you know, the movement, you know, it is expanding. We are in Louisiana. People are checking us out. We are very humbled, and we appreciate the love. We really do. However, I'm about to bring on the one and only, the only one, the first lady of the Man of Talk show, and now we call her the support mechanism and the love. You know, she'll keep it real with us. The lovely Miss Signature. What's going on, sweetie?
Hello, guys. How are you?
I'm feeling great, actually. I'm actually feeling really good this week. Feeling really good.
That's good.
What's up? We know you have something to say.
You know what? I have to apologize first.
What?
I didn't hear most of the first half of the show. My son is in military. He called.
Wait a minute.
No, my baby called. I had to talk to him. I haven't talked to him in 4 weeks.
Oh, he's been out. He just joined the military.
Yeah, he got a free phone call, so I had to talk to him.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's going on?
So, and he did tell me to apologize to you guys.
Nah, he better not. Family first. We know our priorities.
No, my kids they know me and everything I do. I'm serious about it. So he's like, Mom, I apologize, but I got a free call. Do please.
No, that's all right. We're very proud of him. We appreciate his service over in the military. We really, really do. So much respect on his side.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I got to ask a question. Eddie, did you cover the program that you did with your son as far as the money and stuff?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Now,
I sure did.
I have to tell it. I love that because when we were kids, my parents taught us we sat with them, paid the bills or whatever. My mom would always say, in case something ever happened to me, I need to know that you guys are going to be self-sufficient. Okay, cool. Yeah. So when my kids came along, my kids, they are a liability because they be knee deep in my pocket. So I love my kids to death, and some of them are grown, and they're still knee deep in my pocket. But the thing with what I did with my kids is I did what was called a life program. They got to pick a career, where they wanted to live, all that stuff. What I did was did the research, found out what that job made. And that's what they did. And I would give them little situation cards. I made them little fake checks. We had fake money. It was really cool. It was great because it spread out to the kids in the neighborhood. But what I did with my kids was my deal was whatever you save, I'll match at the end of the year.
You sound like, what's the name?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first time I did it, I only had two. I had my oldest son and my daughter. My oldest son, mm-hmm, I wanted to be in the military and da-da-da. 2 weeks into the military, he had a wife. And I was like, what?
Because
they got to send me situation cards, and he wrote on his situation card, I need a wife. And I said, why? Because I get the AQ and I get more money. I said, okay, we're going to let you roll with that. And so he stayed broke. I was forever sending him final notices to pay a bill. At the end, he only saved like $2,000-something dollars. My daughter, on the other hand, loved her. We had to match her for 15 grand.
Whoa, wait a minute.
And when we did the paperwork and I looked at my husband, he goes, I could just really choke you. I said, yeah, you promised to help me pay this. And we should have known that this girl was going to just succeed. You know, she said stuff like, okay, when I graduated from college, you guys bought me furniture in college. I'm keeping that furniture. I don't need no new furniture. It's just me. I don't want no kids. I don't want no pets. I don't want no husband. I'm living in an apartment. Whereas my son wanted to ball out of control. He had a wife and two kids. He drove the best of the best. My daughter drove a used car. In the end, the thing I loved about the program, and then other kids in the neighborhood, their parents were like, we're not matching dollars. Are you kidding me? So, you know, we gave them all an incentive, and they all did it, and it became a real fun thing for them to do, and a lot of those kids are grown now, and I like the fact that I talk to them once in a while, and they have done the same thing with their kids.
Well said.
Son wanted to ball out of control, that is the cheapest towel I know. I believe he still has his first dollar from allowance.
Wow.
He's now married, and I feel sorry for my grandson because everything is you got to earn it. Everything. My grandson's 3 years old.
He said, if you're 3 years old, everything, you have to earn it.
Everything. You know, and I'm looking at him like, I didn't do that to you when you were the age, Mom. I gave my grandson a prepaid Visa card with real money on it, and it's in his name.
Wow.
My son's like, that is not the way you raised us. I can treat grands any way I want to.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Right there.
But because of the project, my son did say he learned a lot, and because of that project, he's as frugal as he is now, and it's just so amazing to watch him with my grandson because he's always like, no, you can't get this. Do you have the money for that? Da 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 da. And I'm looking at him like, figures with you, boo. You got the money for anything you want. Got you.
Mm.
But it was just important. That they learn, it's important that kids learn as early as possible. When they start picking up the money around the house, we need to start talking about money.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. You know. Now, let me ask you guys, everyone in the panel, a question. I mean, I want to swing around the room. Now, you know, we're talking about saving money. We're talking about all this. Now, I hear all the other stories like, listen, I work hard, I play hard, or life is too short. I want to enjoy the fruits of my labor. You know, can someone help me understand that? You know, one end I'm hearing, hey, save your money. The other end, you know, I hear that, hey, look, you can't take the money to the grave with you. You know, so try to enjoy life. So that's why maybe some people buy the expensive cars or they wear the best or they want to live a certain way because they felt they earned it. I mean, can anyone elaborate on that? We'll take it from Sig and we'll spend the time. And then, of course, Eddie, you know, what's your thoughts on this?
For me, people are always, you can't take it with you, whatever. And I agree to that. You can't take it with you. But contrary to what a lot of people believe about me, I live on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
If I set this budget for myself, and whatever I decide to buy with my budget money, if it runs out before my next me payday, I screwed myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to be broke. And I'm one of those people that believe in, and like Eddie was saying about millionaires, guess what? Every true millionaire lives beneath their means.
Mm-hmm.
They shop at Walmart. They want the cheapest and whatever of everything, and they've got their money working for them. My money goes to a trust fund for my kids. When they get 35, they get to get the money and do whatever they want to do with it. I have to bite my tongue. No one's reached 35 yet. I don't know how that's going to work for me. But
right.
I see me going, are you kidding me? But so, and then I live off a budget. Now, I do have one bad habit. I am a shoeaholic.
Shoes.
I like to wear Jimmy Choo's. Anybody know anything about Jimmy Choo's? They cost up to $4,000 or $5,000 to $6,000 a pair.
Oh, beg your pardon? Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a freaking minute. Hold up. How much you said the pair of shoes cost?
If they not on sale, they like $4,000, $5,000. I paid $6,000 for a pair one time.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you can't take it with you. And I came to a conclusion. My man was like, you own too many shoes. And so my son does this thing. He's in the Navy. He does this thing where they auction shoes off of breast cancer. I've donated all of my shoes except for now I have less than 100 pair. Only now own 2 pair of Jimmy Choo's. Because when I was going outside one day and it was an overcast and I freaked out, oh, my God, my shoes can't get wet. I was late for court because I had to change my shoes and my clothes because those shoes that were to protect my feet couldn't get wet. And that was an eye-opener. And it was like, you know how many people can eat off of what you pay for these shoes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my thought process as far as all that has changed. But my only splurge was my shoes. Other than that, I shop at Walmart. I'm a big Walmart fan. I think they owe me money. But that's the way it is. And so they do. I have stock in that company. And that's the way it is. But another thing, when you guys are talking about, you know, how do you spend your money, how do you save your money, and people ask me all the time, and I have to be honest, at this phase in my life, I have an accountant.
Okay.
I've had an accountant for 20-some years, but I also know his job. I know what the books are supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not depending on
mm-hmm.
him to manage my mm-hmm. money for me. I pay him to manage my money for me, but like most people that have a certain amount of money, whatever, they don't know their bottom line. I know mine
to
a penny. I know mine to a penny any given day, and I have investments, and I'm on top of all of that. But, you know, he gets paid too good, that's fine. But, you know, trust will verify. So if you have the money you can save and you can have a financial advisor, an accountant, whoever, you need to be able to check up behind them, because don't be like Lady Gaga was. She did a show, and then she found out she was broke because her accountant was supposed to take care of her money.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
And the thing about that, and when you get a financial advisor, you get an accountant, whoever's going to help you manage your money, they need to be somebody that's got the intestinal fortitude to stand up to you and tell you to stop.
Mm-hmm. So you don't need a yes sir or a yes ma'am person working for you.
Not
exactly.
At all.
Exactly. For me, the people that I surround myself with can never be a yes ma'am person. They need to be able to. They better tell me no 3 times in an interview, or they won't be hired. Because
I know me.
And it's easy for me to get out of control. I was born out of control. So. I need to surround myself with that. But again, like I said, trust but verify. Anytime I want, I'm going to go to my accountant. I want to see my books. I want to see it to the penny. I need to see all my bank statements. And we need to talk about anything that I have a problem with, even if it's just a penny. And yes, I will argue with him about a freaking penny.
Wow. Brother Tom, you with his brother, I mean, what are your thoughts right there as far as I'm saying to the cliches we hear, I work hard, I play hard, you can't take the money to the grave with you. I want to live, you know, I want to enjoy the fruits of my labor. What's your thoughts on this?
You know, you can't take the money to the grave with you, but you can leave something for your family, your loved ones, or organizations you appreciate. So I think the goal needs to be to at least for me, it's to prepare to live a long life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You look at everything that's kind of going on. People are living longer. People are, you know, I'm actually going to a 103rd birthday party tomorrow, and I had the thought of being able to be financially able to live that long in life. That's
mm-hmm.
something. Now, obviously, you want to enjoy it. You don't want to be 103. You know, sitting there, it's like, well, counting pennies, you know, for 103 years. You want to enjoy what you're doing. But, you know, which is why I, you know, like I said, Tiffany taught me, I very much believe in the, you know, you do what you want and what you love and you need. And the other stuff, you know, you just really have to look at it honestly. Because if you don't need it and you don't love it, then it's really not that important to you. I think that's the big thing. I had a problem shopping for a while. Like I enjoyed having, you know, the best dressed, you know, being the best dressed person in the office.
I like that too.
No, I'm not apologizing at all. I would still be the best dressed person in the office. But I'm not going to go and buy, you know, 20 of some shirt that I basically already have when when I can just take, you know, I can wear what I have, be a little bit more careful about where I'm spending. It's like, okay, well, I already have, I don't even know how many just white French cuff shirts with, you know, with all different types of collars, and for a while the justification was like, well, I don't have a spread collar one, but now it's like, you know what, I could have that, or, you know, what I'm not spending on 5 shirts is now a weekend trip out camping or that. Or next week I'm going to AC with a friend for his birthday. You know, like that I much rather value than having a shirt where the only difference is the collar spread. So, you know, I mean, like I said, the things you love and the things that you need are what's important, and the rest you just have to make a choice.
No, I like the fact you said the things that you love and things you need. I mean, that's a good way of putting it. Because you speak something. You say to yourself, I mean, I think I have to agree with you, because what I do is, I say, you know what, I go to the store, I'll see something I like. I mean, I say to myself, damn, do I need that? Do I want it? And, you know, I mean, nah, I already got a couple of shirts like that. You know, maybe a little difference, whether it's a cufflink or not, or the collar's a little different. You know, me personally, I love, like yourself, I love to dress a certain way. You know, I love, you know, I believe perception. You know, I consider when I get dressed, when I go to work, is an investment for me, because it helps my employer, it helps the people I deal with understand where I come from. I'm a professional, so I invest into what I do. I need to write that on a tax return. I got to give an accountant and say, so I had to work on that. But going forward, I agree with you. I totally agree with you as far as, you know, compared to what you want and what you need. You know, I want a lot of stuff, but damn it, I can't get it. we'll all be living in a cardboard box. Straight up. But, you know, in hindsight, I gotta agree with you on that one, man. I'm working on that right now. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I am working on my finances, and I think that's a bigger issue with me compared to what I want and what I need. You know, our family, you know, we try to talk together and say, hey, look, you know, we like to have this. We can't afford this. We're living beyond our means. I want that super sectional, that 16-inch, what's the biggest TV out now? Because I want it. But I can't have it. You know, I don't need to have a movie screen in my house, but I would love to have it. So I have to, you know, be reasonable. 42-inch. I'm pushing for a 60. I don't know if the missus agreed to it. I know she's listening. Wink, 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 hint, hint.
You gotta wait for the Christmas sale.
But yeah, I mean I gotta kind of ride with, you know, Tom on this one. Now, Brother Eddie, what is your thoughts on this?
Oh my gosh. Man. Well, first of all, lack of education is expensive. Lack of education is expensive. And if you all know from the last show, I stressed that education does not mean college or going to school or whatever. Education is just learning and understanding things. And I make sure, just like Sig said, I know what's going on. First of all, the difference between wealthy people and just regular people, or even middle-class people, is regular middle-class people, they can read or balance a checkbook, but a wealthy person understands and knows how to read a financial statement. If y'all don't take anything from this conversation tonight, learn how to read and understand a financial statement. A financial statement is your adult report card. Your adult report card. We try to get A's and B's on school. Financial statement is your adult report card. Financial statement is your adult report card, as well as a map to tell you where you are financially, and it'll provide you with information to tell you where you can be, or where you would like to be, or how to get to where you're trying to be. Financial statement tells you how much money you got, how much money's going out, if you're even able to maintain the bills that you currently have. I'm going to tell you right now, it might hurt your feelings. It might make you throw up or want to throw up. But at least you'll know where you're at so that you can know how to get to where you're trying to go. Me, personally, it's quality over quantity. So as far as me shopping or whatever, I'll buy maybe one or two quality shirts every, I couldn't even tell you how often, because I'm not a big shopper, but I do have an extensive wardrobe. But again, that's because I have purchased one or two quality shirts or pants and stuff like that will last me forever.
Good point. I'm going to elaborate on that after you said that. Right.
So people buy, they'll buy cheap stuff and and it won't last, so they have to continue to rebuy stuff, whereas my stuff is quality stuff, and I just switch it up, change the shirt up or with jeans and or whatever, or slacks or my shoes or whatever, and it might look like I have more than I have, but at the same time, it lasts for a very long time. As far as, you know, you can't take it with you and all this stuff, that's why I stress you have to be able to create assets, man. If you, I don't care how you do it, create assets, because those, if you want to be able to do stuff, if you have assets that can cover it, like she said, it's, they might live below their means. They're either going to live below their means, wealthy people, or they're going to make you pay for it. They're going to create something that's going to make you buy, and they're going to pay, you're going to pay for it out of your pocket, because they're good for creating something that makes, that uses other people's money to cover their bills, which is smart. Like you brought up with old Mitt Romney, it's the interest that he's using to pay off the stuff, and he's keeping the rest of the stuff. So definitely with that. Oh, another thing. This crushed me to my heart. This is what I mean by lack of education is expensive. The last year and a half, because of lack of education, I've been literally, like, crying in the inside, because black people have had a great opportunity to have the advantage or leverage over something, but because of lack of education, we got so raped that it's ridiculous. What am I talking about? Because of lack of education, almost every black person had a great opportunity to have the hold or leverage on gold. But we've been seeing these cash for gold signs running to these places, these cash for gold parties, these dag on pawn shops and everything, and selling our freaking gold. Now, who has more, or who had more gold than black people? Fronts, you got gold chains, hip hop era, all that stuff.
Yeah, no,
we
you're
had
right, you're right.
We had some serious gold, but because of lack of knowledge and sometimes just not thinking, because, and I had my sister, I was hurt that she didn't call me first, but she got so excited. Oh, my gosh, I went to this gold party, whatever, and I sold my gold. It was only like four small pieces of jewelry, and they gave me $1,600. And she was excited. You want to come to the next one? I said, hell no. She said, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I told you I just got $1,600. I said, yeah. If they gave you $1,600, what you think they got for it? It got real freaking quiet on the phone. I just told y'all not even an hour ago. I just told y'all not even an hour ago. If you want, if you're going to invest in something, invest in gold or silver. Those are the things that will not fluctuate with the times. Money, the value of money, yeah. Silver, now actually I would prefer you invest in silver, because silver is low right now, but it's increasing because a lot of people are using silver for natural stuff, like, you know, gas and just production of different things that we use on an everyday basis. So silver, I think, is gonna increase. So I would purchase silver, but silver and gold. But yes, we had our hands on so much gold that we just gave to them. They played us, which goes to what I'm about to go. Again, education. I've been in marketing for years. Everything that I've done in my life was intentional. I went to school for finance because I knew I was going to be wealthy and I wanted to understand my own money, how to use my own money. Nobody can play me when it came to money and stuff like that. Marketing, impulse buying. Get them every time. Do you all not know that these people, they do studies on how to get y'all to buy the stuff? And we impulse buy all the time. Why do you think the candy is low in the front of the aisle before you check out? Because that's where your kids are, low and at the front of the aisle, and they're going to pull on your leg, Mommy, Daddy, can I have some daggone candy? Everything is strategically placed in a market in a manner that will make you be to purchase off of emotion or impulse. What I tell people that really have an issue with this is take your credit cards and cut open a can of beans or something. Cut them open, cook them, clean out the can. And this is for people that have extreme serious problem when it comes to impulse buying.
cut out the can, clean it out, pour some water in it, put your credit card in that water, and put it in the freezer. Go shopping.
What?
When you go shopping, yeah, I said put it in the freezer, put it in cold water, and put the can in the freezer. When you go shopping, if you, I'm, huh?
No, I'm with you, but I'm trying to.
Oh, okay. All right. Put it in some cold water. Put it in the freezer and put the credit card in the freezer. Now, when you go shopping, if you see something that you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta have it, go home, take the can out of the freezer, sit the can out because you can't put it in the microwave. You'll blow the microwave. You can't put it in the oven. You'll burn your credit card. You gotta let it thaw out. Now your credit card gotta thaw out. You take the credit card out when it thaws out, and if you still want or have to buy that thing, then that was something that you should have got. I can guarantee you can tell you take your behind home.
That is wrong.
Take your behind home. By the time you take the can out of the freezer, wait till it thaws out, take the credit card out, your ass will realize how stupid it would have been for you to buy what it is that you were just about to buy off of impulse buy.
Oh, Lord. I didn't realize how stupid
I'm done with you, man. You talking about putting my credit card next to the pork chops.
Wow.
I promise you, it will help you realize how stupid some of the things that we was about to get. Oh, man, I'm telling you, that night set was on sale. No, it wasn't. The night set was bumped up originally and brought down to a lower, higher price.
Don't you mean to tell me? So you mean to tell me all these brothers from back in the day, you know, we're going to take it back a little bit, especially all the brothers back in the day where everything like came along with change, you trying to tell me they've been bamboozled?
Oh, my
bamboo.
God. They were sitting on, I'm telling you, black people were so sitting on such and I'm telling you, I'm literally crying, you know, every time I would see, like, the parties and people getting all excited, girl, you got your gold, at daggone hair salons and everything, giving all their gold away. Thinking that they getting these deals, these people crazy, he just gave me $3,000. No, you just gave him $20.
It sounds like a conspiracy.
It is, but if you're not, again, like I said, not being educated is expensive. People say, man, the education is expensive. No, lack of education is expensive because lack of education is what makes you pay more. Yeah, lack of Think about it. Think about it, man. If you're poor and you don't understand how to make money and all that stuff, like I said, money is a mindset. If you're poor and you don't understand how to make money, for one, people can manipulate you to do things that you don't want to do. Two, if you don't have money, you got to pay the most for stuff. You got to pay the high interest rate. If your credit is low because you didn't do well with your money, you got to pay more. It's the people that understand money that pay less and get the discounts. It's always backwards. You would think it'd be backwards. So, no, you need to get educated on how to do better with your money so that you can get the discount. And like I said, if you listen to everything that I say, it's all about creating assets. I don't say it literally. I'm creating assets, something to put money in my pocket. But if you listen to everything I say when it comes to business or some kind of move I'm about to make, it's somehow making or creating assets. If I'm going to a speed engagement, like I said, they got to record it, I'm going to sell it. That's an asset. If I'm doing a daggone TV show, every time that I get reruns and all that stuff like that, that's a payday. When we were talking about merging and all that stuff like that, the first thing I asked was, do we have archives? Do they have rights to those archives, guys? Because that's a great portfolio that can provide us with assets. I'm about doing stuff once. People are like, man, since I was young, I've been working since I was 11 years old, and that's because my mother made me pay my bills. It wasn't no fake money. It was your ass is not going to have any toiletries or clothes or anything like that. If you don't get any kind of, get a hustle. So I passed out flyers. I babysat. I did what I had to do, or else I was going to be dirty, and I wasn't going to have any clothes. So that's just how we had to do. That's what my mother made us do. We were poor, and we had to make do what we did. But people ask, man, why you work so hard? I work hard because I'm lazy. He's like, what the hell? That don't even make sense. Yes, I work hard because I'm lazy. I'm working hard now with the mindset of me not having to work hard later. So I'm thinking about how lazy I am and how I can't wait to rest and relax and not just have to get up all the time and do what I have to do. So I'm trying to create as many assets to where they're going to cover my expenses and I don't have to work. I'll just be doing what I want to do and getting paid for it. So I work hard because I'm lazy, man. I work hard reading. I work hard studying. I work hard working to create assets and stuff like that because I'm a lazy ass.
And you know what? It pays off. Trust me, it feels good not to have to get up and go.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You guys with those expensive tastes, I got to admit, I love men's clothes. You guys' clothes last longer than ours. Your clothes rarely go on sale. Did y'all know that?
Yeah,
and even if it's a sale, it's a joke.
Yeah,
what I've learned to do, because people like my dad wear $200 linen shirts that I'm not ever going to pay for. I know me, I'll put something on it. But what I found out was, like, for me, I shop off season. The season's about to change. I'm about to buy summer clothes for next year. That's just how I shop.
Yeah,
I'm always looking for a clearance rack. I'm always telling everybody, send me a coupon. If I go to a place, I have to go to the mall and meet everybody because I'll need to know when my size and that right there go on sale, you need to call me. And they do. I get in there and I ask for 50 million discounts. You guys would be surprised at the amount of discounts you can get just by asking. I ask for crazy, just first ask for legitimate ones. If I went to this school, I'm a vet, can I get this? Then I get ridiculous. Can I get a discount because I'm 5'2"? Can I get a discount for being black? Can I get a discount because I dare to ask for the discount? You know, and that's how I shop, because I love clothes, but I also have favorite items, and I know me, I'll buy something and wear it once, which is just a waste. So I'm not going to pay full price for that. And what I've learned is you guys really do have sales, but they're really odd times of the year, and they're really weird. You have your places that sell suits, and it's all of a sudden in the middle of July, buy one, get one wool suit free. Who the hell is thinking about a wool suit? But I sausage my little butt to that men's store, and I got three suits for what I would have paid one for. Plus, I got Christmas suits over with. So it's a lot of things that we try to avoid and we don't want to do or whatever, and those people that fuss about the people with the coupons in the store, they racking up.
Let me ask you guys a question. Tom, I know you can probably chime on this one. We have a lot of this in the urban areas. I'm talking about almost every state from north, south, east, and west. How can we educate, or even is there a portal or is there an opportunity to help educate our young people about quality? Because you buying the latest stuff don't make it quality, because, you know, it's been made at a sweatshop or whatever, but you're not buying quality. I heard a couple times on a conversation to how people bought, certain clothes that's of a certain certain quality compared to quantity.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way we can help educate our young people on how to buy quality clothing or quality merchandise?
Yeah, you do it your damn self. Think about it. You said, no, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to be funny, but think about what we're saying.
I'm with you. I'm trying to educate, because a lot of times I watch these kids and I see them in the malls, they purchase these things, and it says made in the Philippines. I'm like, you know, it's made in a sweatshop, young man. You know, you buy these shoes and they already break them. I need new kicks. You know, they break them up.
And that's
you spend
what I'm
$100
saying.
On it, whereas I'd have spent $50 on this quality.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, but what we're saying is, you know, we're seeing kids do it. Kids are getting their money from their parents. That's what I meant by do it your damn self. Well, you make sure that you're the one that's getting the kids the stuff, because you're the one that's giving the kids the money in the first place. So when then when they see the difference, like a good example, I had my cousin. He was buying his son baby shoes, and it seemed like every other month he was like, "Man, I got to." He rough on some shoes, but he was buying the stuff from Payless and from Walmart. Granted, I know children's feet grow, but the amount, how much he was buying for shoes just for his kindergarten son. His shoes, his feet weren't growing that daggone fast. By the time he just bought a pair of Nikes that had more quality, he did not have to buy it. As a matter of fact, he still got the Nikes, and it was due to him, his foot growing, that he had to purchase another pair, not because the shoe was breaking up at the sole, the thing was flapping at the bottom, or, you know, stuff like that. So he bought a whole bunch of inexpensive shoes, whereas when he bought the Nikes, which he felt kind of cost a lot, but he was able to have for the rest of the year, he realized how much he saved in buying a quality shoe. Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense. I'm with you.
Okay.
It makes perfect sense.
But as far as educating the young people, it you know, I don't know that there's any program or anything short of if you are one of those people that volunteer in schools like I do, and so that's something that comes up, and you get a chance to share and teach that and take them on little trips to the mall and prove your point and show them. I don't think there is anything that says, hey, look, you don't have to spend all that on that, and you're not going to get anything for it. You need to invest your money in, you know, what it's worth. Make what you buy worth your money. If you're going to spend $100 for a pair of shoes, you need to be able to hand those shoes down to your little brother next year. You need to be able to look back and tell your kid, look, I wore these shoes back in the day and they're still good. It's really going to be hands-on and each one teach one.
And that's why I'm adamant. You know, you and I Sig, had that conversation about my nonprofit organization that I want to work on and everything. It's stuff like that that I want to have so that we can understand and grow mentally. But please, before time runs out, I know we got 10 minutes left. I just want to share like how they can start working on getting rid of bills. Nas, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Send them out of Eddie.
All right. Remember how I broke down, you know, percentages, 10%, 10%, da da da. All right, take 10% of your income. We're talking about paying ourselves again. Take 10% of your income and put that aside to pay for yourself. Remember to pay 10% towards whatever charity and your tithes or whatever you want to call it. Make sure you're giving as well. But take that 10%. That's for yourself. Take all your bills and stuff and line them up. Now, what you're going to have is, like, your credit card bills, car note, all that stuff. Have that lined up. Now, what you do is start with your credit cards. Credit cards, you have your minimum balance for your credit cards. A lot of people like to pay, I'm going to pay a little bit more on my credit cards to try to pay them off. What you do is you take all of the credit cards and figure out the minimum balance for every single credit card. Now, you take your minimum balance. The one that has the smallest balance, minimum balance on it, pay the minimum balance on that, and add the 10% to that minimum balance and pay on that credit card every month. The rest of your credit cards, just pay the minimum balance on those credit cards. Don't pay any more, just the minimum balance on those credit cards. Use that 10% plus the minimum balance for the lowest balance or lowest payment credit card that you had, and do it in this order. The one that has the smallest balance, the lowest balance, is the one that you're going to pay off first. So if you have three credit cards, one that has a max of $3,000, one that has a max of $5,000, one that has a max of $7,000, whatever one has the lowest balance that's due, that's the one you want to pay first and use the minimum balance for that one. So if you only have a $400 balance, if your lowest one has a $400 balance that you owe on it, that's the one you're going to pay first. Take the minimum balance of that, add the 10% to that, and pay on that, and then the minimum balance for the rest of them, okay? Now, you keep doing that until that balance goes to zero. Then you take that 10% plus that minimum balance and add it to the next lowest bill. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that means it increased. So say the first bill that you were paying, say the minimum balance that you had to pay on it a month was $75. And after you did 10%, it freed up $100. So you were paying $175 on that credit card or whatever. After you finished paying off the balance, you freed up $175. Now take that $175 and add it to the next lowest balance credit card. So say you were paying a minimum balance on the next lowest of $100. So now you're adding $175 a month to the $100 you were already paying on that credit card. You have now increased how much money is going towards that balance to make it a zero balance. You feel what I'm saying? You still with me?
Not what you said.
So now you keep paying on that monthly and pay a minimum balance on those other credit cards. Now, once that money is freed up, now you have $275 to go to your other minimum balance, and it's going to continue to grow. And you continue to do that until you pay off all your credit cards. Then you take those free balances and you pay that on your car note. You increase the monthly payment. Now, you're not missing this money. It's money you were already paying out in the first place. You're just making it bigger to make your balance go down faster on the other thing. So you take all those, and then you work on your house. And you work on all that stuff to all that free, and then you can use all that for investment money. Now you have however much amount of money that you freed up a month to put it in investment vehicles. Don't start investing on coins and stuff like that until you've eliminated your bad debt.
Well said, brother. Well said.
But that's the way to get rid of your debt or your FSA. A lot of people just try to spread the money out. Don't do that. Take a percentage and pay to yourself. Add it to a minimum payment of the smallest bill that you have until that goes to zero, and just let that continue to grow and add it to the other bills. And it will, I'm telling you, it'll get rid of them quicker, much quicker, than you trying to just spread your money out. So go that way. Have a focal point and keep going and knocking down those different things.
Hey, definitely. Guys, it's been a great and awesome show, very educational, and I think you just ball when it comes. Brother Eddie, you said it's about knowledge at this point. Just going around the room, we're going to close it out. I want to close the remarks. We're going to take it to my brother Tom. We're going to take it again to Sister Sig, and then, of course, my brother Ed. Tom, you have any closing remarks or events that you want to let the listeners know?
Yeah, so I guess the one thing I want to say in closing is the brother's right. You gotta pay off those bad debts. Use that snowball effect and make it happen. And that's when you get there, it's like this burden off your shoulders, and you can now start doing all the things you really want and love doing. And you realize, and you also doing this, you realize other places that you can start saving. Now, I want to give another tip. Any place you spend money, especially regularly, like your cable bill and your car insurance and whatever, call them up. Just call them and be like, and ask to talk to the customer retention department. They will find extra savings for you that you didn't know you had. You know, it's like, oh, well, you got the good student discount on your car insurance, so I can add that on. Or, you know, I call my cable company up every 6 months, and I'm like, well, you know, we've been Comcast customers since the 80s, and Fios is looking kind of nice right now. And they're like, oh, wait a second. I forgot to put this discount on there. Next thing you know, we're still paying lower and lower prices. It's just about those little things you can do. Always, always, always keep track of what money you have coming in and going out. And if you ever have the chance to, whether through the NAACP or United Way, take those free financial literacy courses and bring that information back home. It's a lot of great information out there. And there's even stuff online. Some of the banks are now starting to put it on their websites because of the lawsuits that have happened over the last few years. So there's a lot of great financial information out there for yourself and for your kids and whatever else. So just look for it and do your best to not fall asleep while reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, brother. Thank you very much. Sister Sig, you got any closing remarks or anything you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to say that just because you get a raise, I mean, you spend the raise, try saving that raise.
Amen.
If you live off what you made last month, keep living off of that. Keep the rest. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses, just keep up with yourself.
That's right.
Dude, that's well to the point.
And Nas, I'm going to help you out and your wife. If you want a 60-inch TV, quit splurging on candy and eating out. Put that money in a jar. When you get the money, go buy that 60-inch TV.
I'm working on a system. I'm with you.
No, that's how I buy everything. I buy everything. Anything I decide to buy, I save for it, and I pay cash for it. That's just how I am. That way I have the money. I'm not taking away from something else. I'm not thinking twice about it. I really wanted it because I saved it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Now, my brother who's going to come to close it out, Brother Ed, what you got for us?
Oh, please, financial statements. I'm so serious about that. That will tell you exactly where you are. You cannot get to where you want to go unless you know where you are first. I don't know where the hell you think you're going to go with a GPS system, though, that doesn't find out where you're starting at before you can tell it. It can tell you where you're trying to go. So you have to know where you're at. Like I said, it might be scary, it might hurt your feelings, whatever, but at least you know where you stand, and then you work from there to get out of wherever your situation is. So please learn how to understand how to read a financial statement. And lastly, oh my gosh, please, one the first things you should have and you should pay a monthly thing for is, unless you're just a selfish individual, and that's just me being honest, is life insurance. My gosh, if black people had life insurance, how many people would be out of debt? I don't know, or how many of us would change our life or our children's lives. It's crazy. So many people don't have life insurance and have to do all these food drives and all this stuff to pay for the funeral and everything like that. The whole point of life insurance is if you go, you're replacing your income and covering the household things and cars and stuff for the people that you're leaving behind, more than likely your family. Be considerate of them. Make that a priority bill and make sure it covers your liabilities that you and your wife and family or you and your husband and family are working to cover together while you're living so that you don't leave them assed out when you die. Please do that. You will change a generation just by that one thing alone. So that's pretty much it, man.
Well, in the words of our brother Sal Harrison, thing you had to deal with, it was a great show. It was a lot of informative stuff that was going down on here. And once again, we thank everybody that tuned into the Meta Talk Show. We will see you next week, hear from you next week. And, of course, once again, we thank you for the love and support. And remember, check us out. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Play that.
Love y'all.
Power.